morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us yet again this morning, it's been several times over the past few years, always great to have back Missy Zivny with Refuge of Light. Good morning, Missy. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, and it's great to be back with you again.
Missy is the co-founder and community relations director for Refuge of Light, and as those of you with a good memory might recall, the very first show we did with you, we did with your mom, Norma Mulliken. Norma is the executive director, and between you and your mom and your dad, also a co-founder, and a bunch of staff people and volunteers, you're doing great things in the area of human trafficking, specifically domestic minor sex trafficking, which
is what
Refuge of Light is all about. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. And a refresher course for some and new news for a number of other folks. Missy, just tell us what Refuge of Light is all about.
Well, Refuge of Light is a faith-based, Christ-centered organization, and we focus primarily on domestic minor sex trafficking. We provide a safe haven, redemptive rescue and restoration to female victims of DMST, domestic minor sex trafficking, through advocacy, awareness, and holistic care. And with that being said, primarily we focus on our safe home for young girls.
Mm-hmm. And that's been the case from the get-go.
Yes.
I know that was really your vision when you got the whole thing started, which I guess was back around 2008 when you first began to put everything together.
That's when we really started this journey, and when God really got our full attention, that's when we realized we need to start a nonprofit. We became a nonprofit 501c3 in 2010. And that's when the real work began. We started the fundraising, and that took almost 4 years in its entirety, and that's when we started the building for the safe home itself.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a little over a year since we visited you with you. So some important information has come down in that time span.
That's right.
And we'll get to that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
You are continuing to grow, and I think one of the things you want to point out is you're getting bigger, but you're doing it at just the right pace, not getting ahead of yourself. Very sensitive issue, to say the least, and you want to make sure you do it right.
Exactly.
What population does Refuge of Light serve specifically?
So for domestic minor sex trafficking in our home, we work with girls 17 years and under, and our home is licensed for girls 10 to 17 years old.
And now on to definitions. We have human trafficking and we have domestic minor sex trafficking. Both are very, very serious issues. You deal with one of those specifically.
Yes.
And people need to understand the difference and understand how to direct their concerns if they have concerns about either of these two issues. So what's the difference between human trafficking and domestic minor sex trafficking, which is your focus?
So human trafficking, under the state law, you know, this is the buying and selling of an individual for exploitation. And there are two categories that really that encompasses. That is labor trafficking and sex trafficking. And Refuge of Light focuses on sex trafficking. And even more so, that can be broken down. You have adults and then minors. And so there you get the term domestic minor sex trafficking, the exploitation of children. And that's the arena that we are working in.
And it can be in exchange for food, drugs, housing, etc. A child depicted in a pornographic image is, by definition, human trafficking. Every time we cover a child porn case on the news, we're covering human trafficking, whether we know it or not.
That's right. And when we speak to groups, I tell them, oftentimes people say this is a gateway into that. No, it is actually human trafficking. When you have a child depicted in a pornographic image, you are propagating. If you are consuming that, you are propagating, and you are a part of the problem when it comes to child sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Very important to note. Now, who is at greatest risk of this domestic minor sex trafficking?
Well, there are certain populations, runaways, homeless youth, children in foster care, and even those who have been previously sexually abused.
And how big is the problem? It is big. No two ways about that.
It's huge. In November 2016, UT Austin released a study, and what they found out was that there are 79,000 youth and minors in the state of Texas at any given moment that are being trafficked.
Hmm. And the big problem, or this, let me rephrase that. This is a big problem for one reason, and it can be put into one word, right?
That's right. Demand.
People want this.
They do. Unfortunately, that is a society that we live in right now. It's simple economics, supply and demand. And as long as there is a demand, there will be pimps and traffickers out there who will provide that.
Now, what are the other contributing factors to this problem?
Drugs. We talked about high-risk children. Pornography. U.S. is one of the top producers of porn web pages. And we are just feeding into this black hole.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Missy Zivny, co-founder and community relations director of Refuge of Light, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And now we move on to the meat of it. How does Refuge of Light serve this population? First of all, advocacy. That's the first thing that's, I believe, listed on your website.
Right, right. So we have a program called Brave Girl. We've been doing this really since 2012. We started out working with a shelter in Tyler, an emergency shelter, and that has expanded. When we initially started, it was called our Light Ministries, and since we've been working in this arena, these kids, these girls in particular, who have come from such hard places, they are our brave girls. And although we do work most often with our girls in our safe home, we realize that there are children in our community that are at the highest risk of being exploited, and we want to stop it before it even gets to that point. So these are our kids in our community, specifically here in Smith County, that we're working with that have come through an emergency shelter, that have been displaced from their home for any reason, such as negligence, physical abuse, sexual abuse, that would fall under the category of why they would be there would be a disruption in their home life.
And under the auspices of this Brave Girl program, I understand that you provide life skills, Bible study, and a meal. Anything more you can tell us about how that works?
Well, we have a two-hour time frame where our girls come to us, and we try to provide a non-judgment zone, a very comfortable environment where the walls can come down, where we can sit around a table and basically break bread with them and share moments with them so that they feel like they are heard, that they can be a part of a family that maybe they've not had the opportunity to be a part of.
Uh-huh.
And that gives us the eyes to see. We have a tool that we use. It's called the See It tool, and it's a commercial sexual exploitation identification tool. And so there's certain criteria that we have as we're sitting there with them. They think we are enjoying that time with them, sharing that space with them, but we also have the opportunity to go through a criteria and look at red flags, indicating factors that may put them at the highest risk for being trafficked. And so we can, you know, put a bug in a caseworker's ear or speak to somebody who might can take that next step where we can actually have them placed in an appropriate facility.
Mm-hmm. Now, you use the word enjoy, as in enjoy the time with them. And that almost seems like a contradiction in terms based on the issue that you're dealing
right.
with. But you do want to create that comfortable, even enjoyable space for them.
We do. I just have so many stories and memories of these young girls that have come through, and some girls as young as 5 years old that have been placed in a shelter that, if you can only imagine their fear and their terror, and to be in a place where we can sit down together, we can share a meal, they can share funny stories, memories that they can take away from that moment.
Again, talking to Missy Zivny with Refuge of Light in Tyler, I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. And a little bit late on the draw on this one, I guess. Want to give out some contact information. You can find out more about this agency at refugeoflight.org. That is refugeoflight.org. And social media availability on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you're interested in doing it the old-fashioned way, you can drop them a line at P.O. Box 132703, Tyler, Texas, 75713. Email address is info@refugeoflight.org. And we'll give out a phone number right now we're going to be referring back to later in the show, the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 1-888-373-7888. You might want to bookmark that while you're listening, and we'll talk a little later on. Matter of fact, in just a moment, I guess, about how that works
right.
and how you can put it to best use. Moving on to education and awareness. We're doing that right now on this
exactly.
show, but there are other ways that you do it around the community and also in-house. I know your volunteers and staff have to be trained through the education and awareness piece.
So we provide a traffic signals training class. It's a five-hour class. It encompasses the what, why, and how of child sex trafficking. We require that our staff they that is a requirement for them when they come on board and are employed by Refuge of Light, but also our volunteers, that is an expectation. And you mentioned coming on board volunteering with Refuge of Light. It is pretty extensive since we have transitioned with our new license that we'll talk about later in the show. But there's 14 hours of training that they would have to go through, as well as, and that traffic signals is encompassed within in that as well. We provide mm-hmm. that to the community. We try to offer 4 to 6 trainings throughout the year. We do trainings upon special request as well, if there's 10 plus who will be in attendance to that training.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to add about specific indicating factors or red flags that people need to be aware of if they want to go ahead and report some of this?
I would. We're always trying to educate the community, and especially those who work directly with children, teachers, we call our frontline defenders. So a couple of red flags just in the community if you're out. Children who seem to have no control over their schedule. Children who seem to be hungry or malnourished. They may make reference to frequent travel to other cities. Kids who chronically run away from home. The question is, what are they running away from?
Mm-hmm.
We have, if you see a child who exhibits a sudden change in attire or their behavior or material possessions.
Right.
So we'll have teachers. Kids are in school Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers see those children more than their parents do. And so they notice these significant differences in their behavior and the things that they may show up with. A child who has bruises, tattoos, they may appear fearful or depressed if they're inappropriately dressed for the season. Also, if they show signs of drug addiction. And then one that's a very high indicator is a young girl who would have a boyfriend who's 10 plus years older than them.
Mm. Talking to Missy Zivny with Refuge of Light, and just to kind of get everybody up to speed here, we'll go ahead and quote right off your website. The mission of Refuge of Light is to provide a safe haven, redemptive rescue, and restoration of female victims of domestic minor sex trafficking through advocacy, awareness, and holistic care. That's our topic this morning. Refuge of Light is the agency that puts it to work. I'm John Sims, and our guest is Missy Zivny, and this is In Focus, and I think I got it all covered right there. If not, I can go back and repeat it. Now, if you suspect that this sex trafficking is going on, and you have it written on my little cheat sheet here, if you will, in capital letters, report, 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 and you do that through the National Human Trafficking Hotline, right?
Yes, yes. The National Human Trafficking Hotline, that covers adults as well as minors, and sometimes it's hard to tell if it is an adult or a minor.
Sure, yeah.
So that number is 1-888-373-7888. You can always encourage individuals, if they call me and they say, what do I do? You report at this national level. They have connections to local law enforcement. They have connections to local anti-trafficking organizations so that they can contact them directly. Also, I encourage them to go the added mile and effort and to report online at humantraffickinghotline.org. You can print that. That'll just be that you're typing that up and giving any information that would give them any indicating factors, you know, what the child looks like, even the clothing that they were wearing when you saw them.
Okay. And again, the National Human Trafficking Hotline, you're telling us that that is the most efficient way. I guess it's okay if you call local law enforcement, but it works better if you call the National Human Trafficking
Hotline. Yes, they'll cover the bases.
Yeah, because children just moving around.
That's
and
right.
Maybe not even being sure exactly what locality this
is happening in.
If you're traveling and you see something strange
in a hotel or motel or a restaurant, and so you can call and say, this is the location I'm in. I don't know anything about this particular area, but the National Trafficking Hotline, they will know, and they will have those contacts.
All right. And again, that number, 1-888-373-7888. January, as luck would have it, if you will, is Human Trafficking Awareness
That's
Month.
Right.
And January 11th, Human Trafficking Awareness Day. What do you have going on with that?
Well, actually, I think when this airs, that will have happened yesterday. We're always promoting on our Facebook. We have different initiatives, boots on the ground, that we're working on. Right now, the state has really, they have several initiatives. Right now, First Lady Cecilia Abbott, she's launched a statewide campaign to bring more awareness to this issue. And it's a billboard campaign called Can You See Me? And as luck would have it, the city of Tyler was chosen to participate in this with a billboard that they have strategically placed on East Front Street. That's 1918 East Front Street.
Uh-huh.
They recently unveiled that to the public on November the 13th of this year. And then another campaign that First Lady is kicking off is the GRACE Initiative, and that stands for the Governor's Response Against Child Exploitation.
All righty. And faith leaders across the state, I understand, invited to a listening session to strengthen strategies to protect and serve vulnerable youth. And one of your very own board members, Jay Abernathy,
who is
from East Texas, now working as a pastor in Lubbock, he was in on that. Did he have anything? I'm sure he did have some very interesting material to share with you when he got back from that.
He did. And it was interesting because there were leaders of very different faiths that were involved in that.
Uh-huh.
And so this, as you mentioned, was a listening session. So it was the first of several that they will be working on and putting their heads together and how to address this from as a faith-based approach.
Okay. Again, visiting with Missy Zivney of Refuge of Light in Tyler, mission to provide a safe haven, redemptive rescue, and restoration of female victims of domestic minor sex trafficking. Through advocacy, awareness, and holistic care. This is In Focus. I am John Sims, and we continue now with, again, let me go ahead and give out some more contact information. It's been a few minutes since I got people up to date on that. Their website is refugeoflight.org, and you have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram capabilities. You can also get in touch by email at info@refugeoflight.org, and then there's that all-important national human trafficking hotline, which is 1-888-373-7888. Moving on to the big one, one that really that you really had in mind all along, the piece of your work you had in mind all along when you got going back about 10 or 11 years ago, the Holistic Care Safe Home. And that has made a big move just within the past 6 or 7 months, I understand.
It certainly has. When we opened our doors initially, that was December of 2014, we opened as a therapeutic foster home.
Uh-huh.
And so we were licensed for 6 girls, and we operated that way for right at 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that there were some glitches. The greatest thing about that was we learned a lot of what not to do in that process. Talk about the School of Hard Knocks. We had some amazing girls come through that program, lots of success. I would say 90% of them ended up getting their GED and moving on. We still have contact with those girls. But through the course of that, we realized this would not be a sustainable model. We knew from the beginning that we would mm-hmm. eventually transition to a residential treatment center. So this first group of girls that we had, they transitioned out. We got them settled, and we knew that it was at that moment that God wanted us to really work towards making that switch. And so it took us almost a year. We started 2018. It took us a year, a little more than that, to get established as a residential treatment. And right around June of 2019, this past year, we opened our doors again.
Okay. Bigger and better than before, and
yes.
able to serve this very needy population. Just to kind of quickly run through this, you offer food, clothing, shelter. Those are basic needs.
Right.
Medical counseling, trauma-informed therapeutic approach is what you use, or TBRI, which is trust-based relational intervention.
Right.
And on-site education, mentoring, life skills. Pet therapy, you use equine therapy.
That's
it
right.
looks like you use a lot of different methods, I should say, to get these girls, you know, back to where they need to be.
We do. And one area that we focus on that you're really hearing more about in mental health is the ACEs, and that's adverse childhood experiences. And what we've discovered with these girls, it's a compilation of many different traumas that have occurred. So you get the term complex trauma. And when you're talking about ACEs, that stands for adverse childhood experiences. And so it's not that you're only dealing with the sexual exploitation. You may be dealing with physical abuse. You may be dealing with so much more that occurred early childhood. And so to come at it with a trauma-informed therapeutic approach, that is our wheelhouse in working with these girls at the Refuge of Light Safe Home.
Mm-hmm. And Refuge of Light is our topic this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, Refuge of Light, of course, working for the last several years with people victimized by child sex trafficking and people who really want to help with very, very important issue. Now, transitioning from You're now a residential treatment
right.
facility, and you were what were you before?
We were previously a therapeutic foster home.
Okay, now to a lot of people that may just be in-house jargon, but it's really very important, and we can
right.
kind of cast some light on that by explaining to people what some of the advantages and disadvantages are that you're facing now that you've made that transition.
I had mentioned as we were operating as a therapeutic foster home, we realized that we could operate at a more sustainable level if we transitioned. And so through the course of those 3 years, there were things that we learned. When we did transition, the state has such oversight. We have the freedom to make decisions, but they also have general oversight because we are licensed through the state.
Uh-huh.
And what that essentially means is that our staff tripled. We went from having several direct caregivers, foster parents, so now we have a licensed child care administrator. We have a program director. We have an on-site caseworker or social worker. We have about 10 direct caregivers because we have 24-hour awake staff
uh-huh.
that oversee our girls. So as you can see, it's a lot of hands-on. And then we have two teachers that are on-site that are allocated just for the education of our girls.
All right. You've also added some titles here. Your mom now is the executive director.
Yes.
You're the community relations director. You have a financial secretary. So you really have a much bigger arsenal of
we do.
Tools.
It's wonderful,
yeah.
but then with that comes a higher price tag. And so that's one of the disadvantages because it does require more staff, although that allows for more oversight, but then it becomes a much more expensive endeavor.
All righty. So we're getting into the donation category now, and we'll tell folks in just a little bit how they can be a part of that. Another thing, you originally were licensed for 6 girls, and now you have the capacity for 13 girls. So you're able to help more than twice as many girls, I guess, at any
That's
given
right.
time.
That's right.
All right. So you're growing, and you're having those growing pains. Needless to say, it's well worth it for you and
it
for the
is.
Girls. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No doubt.
Here's an eye-opener for you. When we look at needs in the arena of child sex trafficking, this puts it into perspective. You've gotten really good at identifying and raising awareness, but what we're lacking in is housing and aftercare,
That's right.
and you're working and doing, from what I hear, a very good job of taking care of that with your safe home, but there's so much more work to be done.
There is. And the argument would be, well, you know, we need to do more in the area preventative. I agree. But the problem right now is we do have these kids in our midst. When you look at the numbers that research shows, there's 79,000 children in the state of Texas, and what research shows is 2% of those are being rescued. You put the math to that, that's a little over 1,500 children. And we have a handful of safe homes in the state of Texas, and that's less than 500 beds. We don't have the capacity, even if we were identifying and rescuing 2% of those children, where would we put them?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is funding.
All righty. So we move on to how do we take care of that? How can the community help? And there's funding, and you also
yes.
take in-kind donations as
we do.
Well.
We yeah. do. Well, we're always in the need of those essentials month to month. Canned goods, paper goods, those are items that we have to replenish monthly. Gift cards for the girls as incentives. Are gift cards for them so that to get personal items that they would need.
All righty. There's some specific ways that people can donate. They can donate online. Just go to the Donate
yes.
tab, which is pretty much standard issue
yes.
for nonprofits now on their websites. There's also a Freedom Fighter campaign. Explain how that works.
And that's an ongoing campaign, much like Compassion International. It comes out to be less than $1 a day, $25 a month. After your third month donation, you are considered a Freedom Fighter ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
With that comes a T-shirt, a Freedom Fighter T-shirt. And just to get to be a part of something bigger and be a part of the team financially funding this organization and helping young girls get out of this plight.
All righty. You can find out more about all of this, by the way, by going to that website, refugeoflight.org, and you can also check the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. You can also attend traffic signals trainings. This is required for volunteers,
yes.
or part of what's required for volunteers, and I guess also for staff, but people in the community also encouraged to attend traffic signals trainings.
I actually have one coming up this Tuesday. That might be a little late notice for others, but you can always check with our website, as you mentioned, or our Facebook, to see when we have upcoming traffic signals trainings.
Okay. Now, you can also become a volunteer, but caveat, to be a volunteer with Refuge of Flight, you have to pass some pretty rigid vetting? And, of course, reasons for that are quite obvious.
We do, and that's mandated by the state. So there's a confidentiality agreement that you must sign. Our girls are all under the address protection program through the governor's office. Obviously, they've come out of very dangerous situations. Some of them have pimps or traffickers that are still looking for them. So we don't want to disclose that location. So you would have to sign a confidentiality form, have a background check run. Then there's 14 hours of training that you would specifically have to go through.
All righty. And you can also attend Refuge of Light events. And I believe the next big event Refuge of Light has coming up is in Palestine, Texas, on March 21st. Mark your calendars now.
And that's going to be a fun one because that's going to be in conjunction with the 82nd Annual Dogwood Trails Festival in Palestine, as you mentioned. We're going to host a refuge run and a Dogwood Doggy Dash at Davie Dogwood Park. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
It will include a 5K and a fun run, and you're allowed to bring your doggy.
All righty. And you can check out the Facebook page and website to register and get more details. As we visit with Missy Zivny of Refuge of Light on In Focus this morning, I'm John Sims. A few minutes left in the show. Palestine is definitely part of our listening area, but it does raise the question, how much territory do you cover? And I believe the answer is you have business from all around the state, largely because there are so few safe homes.
We do. We girls that have been placed in our home have come from San Antonio, Dallas. We've actually had girls that have come from out of state. So we do. It encompasses a large area. We've had girls from Tyler. We've had girls because there are, like you mentioned, so few homes. We cover all of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that people can do, the 5th annual East Texas Giving Day. Seems like only yesterday they were having the last one through the East Texas Communities Foundation. That's going to be April 28th. Not too early to mark your calendar for that. Tell us a little bit about how that works and how people can help your agency through that effort.
Okay. That's an 18-hour day of giving, and that's, as you mentioned, hosted by East Texas Communities Foundation. It's all online. East Texas Community Foundation, you can go to their website and find out more about that. We'll have it posted on our website as well, but it's all online driven, and it's just for that 18 hours. Now, we'll have different promotional events happening before that, and East Texas Communities Foundation will have like a kickoff coming up very soon, and we just encourage people to rally because it's not just our organization, but it's hundreds of organizations that cover the East Texas area.
All right. East Texas Giving Day, April 28th, Refuge of Light, one of the agencies that's involved with that. You're certainly encouraged to give. And as we get down close to the end of the show, we've covered pretty much the essentials, but there are still some things that we want to talk about in the next couple of minutes. And I guess the first thing that comes to mind is you've grown a lot. It, from what I gather, has been very closely guided growth. But what do you envision for Refuge of Light, maybe in the next 2-5 years, however far down the road you're looking?
That's a big question. I spoke at an event recently, and I had a pastor come up to me, and he was asking about the homes, because that seems to be a huge issue, is the lack of homes in across the state of Texas. And the one thing he said was, dream bigger. And that frightened me, because I thought, does that mean that we will have another home in expansion to this organization? I don't know that. Don't quote me on that in years to come, but I do know that God is doing so much more than we could even think or imagine. We did not see ourselves in this place 10 years ago with an organization this large, with this many staff, and able to pour into the lives of these young girls that have been victimized by child sex trafficking.
And, of course, the flip side of that, which actually not the flip side, you kind of alluded to it right there. The problem is not going away.
It's not.
Trying to attack a problem like this at its roots, I wouldn't personally know where to begin, but at least there are organizations like yours that are trying to take care of people that have already been victimized by it. And you can, I guess, kind of nip it in the bud if you'll do that reporting. That's so important. 1-888-373-7888. I think this is as good a time as any to give that National Human Trafficking Hotline number out again. But, keep it up. You don't need me to tell you that. I know you're going to do that anyway. And we are now down close to the end of the show. Missy, I just want to thank you again for coming in. And
thank you for having me.
Not only recapping, but updating us on the work that Refuge of Light is continuing to do. Missy Zivny, the Community Relations Director and co-founder of Refuge of Light in Tyler, our guest this morning on In Focus. Thanks again, Missy, for coming in, and keep us posted on what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Missy Zivney, our guest. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we'll see you again next week on In Focus.